Okay, let's pray. Gracious and loving Father, thank you that we can gather here this morning and bring you praise. And to remember your great love for us, especially shown in your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for your word, and we pray now that as we take some time to meditate on it, that you would speak to us and teach us more about who you are and what you have done for us and in us through your Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. It'd be good if you could have your Bibles open at Ephesians chapter 1 that was read earlier, and that's the text we're going to be looking at this morning. Now, I want to begin this morning by asking you to do something that is quite personal. It's something that we can all do, though the results will be very different. Now, don't worry, you won't be made to feel embarrassed publicly. Anyway, now the question I'm about to ask you is one that I'd never ask you in a personal one-to-one conversation, because it crosses that social boundary, and frankly, it would be quite rude. But I'm going to ask you now anyway. You ready? How rich are you? How rich are you? What I want you to do is to take 30 seconds and mentally add up all the assets that you have to your name. Money, property, possessions, investments, etc. Don't write it down, just mentally. Add up all those assets, come to a ballpark figure in your mind, and don't worry, we're not going to go around the room. Take 30 seconds. Now, I'm not really sure how you've reacted to that question and that exercise this morning. And of course, I've got absolutely no idea of the ballpark figures that you all individually have come to, and that's good. But I have a suspicion that we were all probably able to think about the assets that we have and then come to a rough figure. Why is that? Because to speak frankly, we know how rich we are, don't we? We may not be completely satisfied. I won't look at the university students right now. But my suspicion is that most of us know exactly how rich we are. Now, let me ask you a different question this morning. If you are a Christian, do you know how rich you are? Or if you don't like those particular words, let me rephrase. As a Christian, do you really know how blessed you are by God? Could you take 30 seconds and list all the blessings you have from God because of Christ? We could take 30 seconds to count our blessings, as it were, and try to think about all the ways in which God has richly blessed us in Christ. But instead of taking 30 seconds to try and think about those things, we're going to turn to the first chapter of Ephesians so that we don't have to guess or speculate. Because in this first section, what we have is an outline of the rich blessings of God for every Christian. Now, in financial terms, we know what our bank accounts are like. We know who we bank with, we probably know interest rates, and of course, we know our current account balance. At least roughly. In the first part of Ephesians that was read, we have what we might call our blessings account. Every person who has put their faith in Jesus Christ may consider this passage their very own blessings account. If you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you may consider this your personal blessings account. So today, as we look at this passage, I hope and pray that we might clearly see, either for the first time or again, how richly God has blessed every person who is in Christ, every person who has put their faith in Jesus. But there's also a sense in which I need to warn you today as we approach this passage. There is a sense in which I've bitten off more than I can chew. There's certainly wonderfully good news in this passage. You will certainly see how richly God has blessed every person in Christ. But there are also some very deep theological concepts that we're going to discover. And the best minds throughout church history have wrestled with these concepts. Much has been written about these particular blessings. So today, as we make our way through this blessings account, as we might call it, I won't be able to answer every single question that might come up in your mind, valid as they may be. But my goal today as we look at this passage is to get to the point of what the passage is saying as a whole. If you are a Christian, if you are in Christ, you are so incredibly richly blessed. So as we approach this passage, mainly from verses 3 to 14, there are two main sections. Verse 3 acts as a summary, if you like, of the Father's rich blessing in Christ, and we're going to call that the blessing account summary. And then verses 4 to 14 speak of seven major blessings in Christ, and we'll call those the blessing account transaction history. So let's look firstly at verse 3, where we have a summary from Paul, if you like, of the rich blessing for every Christian. Let's look at verse 3. Paul writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Now, in this summary of our rich blessings in Christ, we see firstly who the payer or the giver of these blessings is. Paul says they come from the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, while this states that our blessings are from God the Father, we will see that the Son and the Spirit are vitally involved too. So, whilst this may sound incredibly simplistic, verging on patronizing, we need to see that these blessings come from God. These blessings are based on grace, not merit. Unlike our bank account, where we've worked hard for what we have, these blessings flow out of God's generosity, not something that we deserve or have earned. If we don't get this, then we won't get the rest of the passage. Verse 3 also shows us who is the payee or the recipients, although this is a little bit harder to see in verse 3. Paul says it is us who are the payees. The question is, who is the us? Well, it is those who are in Christ. It's those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus. It is, verse 1, the faithful or believers in Christ Jesus. So friends, this blessing account is yours if you are someone who has put your faith in the Lord Jesus. So this summary of our blessing account tells us, firstly, the payer is God, starting with the Father, worked out by the Son and applied by the Spirit. Secondly, the payee or the recipients is every person who is in Christ, every person who has put their faith in Jesus Christ. What about the contents in this blessing account summary? Well, Paul describes the rich blessings in two ways. First, these blessings are described as spiritual. In one sense, that does mean non-material. But primarily, the rich blessings that we have in Christ are from the Holy Spirit or applied to us by the Holy Spirit. But then second, these blessings are also described as being in the heavenly realms. It says, "He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing." So there is a sense in which this blessing account is somehow distant from us in the heavenly realms and yet still applied to us and accessible by us whilst we're here on earth. Now, I wonder if any of you have travelled overseas at all? Anybody? Yes, a few. Then you've probably shared in an experience that Amanda and I had. Amanda's my wife, in case you didn't know. An experience that Amanda and I had whilst living overseas a number of years ago. When we first moved to England, we obviously didn't have bank accounts set up in the UK at the time when we arrived. And so what we had to do initially with our money was use our bank accounts back in Australia and pull out the money whilst over there. And that was quite painful because the exchange rate of the pound at the time was terribly, terribly bad going that way. But nonetheless, it was still our money to access and to use, even though in one sense it was in a different location. Different location, but still ours to access. These blessings for the Christian are located in the heavenly realms, Paul says, but they're still accessible to us here in the earthly realm. Yes, they are yet to be perfectly realized, as we'll see a bit later on, but they are still ours in Christ and accessible now. And these blessings are secure in the heavenly realms because of this reason. That is where Christ reigns supreme. And all our blessings are found in and through him, and so they are secure. Now, there's a Christian radio station in Sydney called Hope 103.2. I presume some of you have heard about that. Maybe you even listened to it. And they have introduced this concept maybe a couple of years ago now called the drive-through difference. Anyone heard of that? No? Okay. Mixed. The basic idea of the drive-through difference is that you pay for the person behind you in the queue. So, for instance, if you're buying a coffee, you also pay for the person's coffee behind you. If you would ever, probably not, but if you would ever get drive-through McDonald's, you pay for yourself and the order of the people in the car behind you. That is called the drive-through difference. And the radio station's trying to promote people doing that. Now, if someone did that for you, how would you feel? If we tried to pay for another person, what do you think their response would be? The concept that the drive-through difference is built upon is this idea of grace. Giving something to another person when they haven't earned it in any way. You see, grace is so foreign to our culture, wouldn't you agree? That when it happens to us, we're actually suspicious. We either don't trust that weird person who just paid for us, or our other reflex action is, how can I pay you back? That's often our response to grace. Now, if you are uncomfortable with grace, this idea of receiving something good that we haven't earned, then you're going to feel very uncomfortable for the next few moments. Because we're about to look briefly at the transaction history of this blessings account in verses 4 to 14. And what we will see is God showing incredible grace, showering us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So as we go through these amazing blessings, I want you to keep this in mind. Even if we're not able to completely comprehend these blessings, that does not change the fact that God desires to give them. Even if we can't completely comprehend and understand them with our finite minds, that doesn't mean God is not desiring to give them to us. It will be a little bit like drinking from a fire hose, but just remember, these are the blessings God has showered on you if you are a Christian. So let's look at the blessings account transaction history in verses 4 to 14. So here goes. First blessing transaction, number one, God chose us. Verse 4, Paul says, "For he chose us in him, in Christ, before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." And what we see here in verse 4 is something of the mind and the will of God before the creation of the world. In eternity past, before creation came into being, God made a choice of who would be in Christ. God made a choice about who would be members of his people. You coming to Christ, therefore, is not an accident or simply about your decision. God has elected his people from before the creation. Now, this teaching about God's choosing or election, it's a challenging one that many great minds have wrestled with. And it's okay to ask questions as we think through it. Perhaps you have questions like, is this fair? Or I thought I chose to follow God, put my faith in Christ. Does that mean we're just robots somehow and have no free will? What about those who are not chosen? It raises various questions for us, and it's normal to ask these. It's pretty heady stuff. But one of the dangers with only questioning the doctrine of election is that we lose sight of the blessing of election. If God has chosen you in Christ, then your salvation is not based on you in any way, but on God. Were you there before the creation of the world, and were you there to convince God to choose you? What a silly question. Of course not. Your destiny of becoming holy and blameless, as it says there in verse 4, is not about you trying hard, but it's about God choosing you in eternity past, for this is to become the reality for you in his sight, to become holy and blameless. So the first blessing, God has chosen you, if you are in Christ before creation, to be holy and blameless. Second blessing is found in verse 5, and it's closely related to the first. Verse 5, in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Again, this is about God's decision for your destiny in Christ. It's in accordance with God's pleasure and God's will. He has adopted us as his sons through Jesus Christ. The reason being, so that we might be in relationship with him. Yes, now, but going on into eternity. Now, the other part of this concept of adoption that Paul mentions is this idea of inheritance. That's why the term son is used here. This is not a gender distinction, particularly. Men and women are adopted as God's sons and daughters. That's true. But the term adopted as his sons is a reference to inheritance. Because in biblical times and cultures, it was the son who inherited what belonged to the father. But just stop and think about this further. God already has a son, the beloved Jesus Christ. So being adopted as his children, as his sons, means we are inheriting what Jesus inherits. Can you earn this adoption? Absolutely not. This is God's blessing on you if you're in Christ. Blessing number 3, God redeemed us. Short little phrase in verse 7, it says, in him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. Now, we often think that this word redemption is a religious word. It is all throughout the Bible. But it actually refers to being released from some sort of captivity, being redeemed out of slavery, being redeemed out of some huge debt, being redeemed from prison. What Paul's saying here is that God has redeemed us from slavery to sin. Now, we may not like this idea of thinking we're a slave to sin. We might not agree with it. But God knows who we are. God knows we are slaves to our sinful nature and cannot release ourselves from it. And so through the blood of his son on the cross, God paid for our redemption or our release from being slaves to sin. No longer slaves to sin, we now belong to God who purchased us with the blood of Christ. Fourth blessing, God forgave us, still in verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Now again, we might think that redeemed and forgiven actually are synonymous, that they just mean the same thing, but there is a distinction. We could be redeemed from our slavery to sin, but still have all of those things that we've done in rebellion against God hanging over us and keeping us being separated from God. In one sense, they do go together. They're almost like fraternal twins. But forgiveness is centered on relationship. So God, in seeking right relationship with us, brings forgiveness. All our sins and rebellion and trespasses, all forgiven because of his grace and work through the Lord Jesus. As Psalm 103 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Are you still with me? Three to go. Blessing number five, God revealed his will to us. Verses 9 and 10. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. And what that's saying there is that God has revealed the mystery of history to you. The mystery of history. History is actually heading somewhere. God does have a plan. One day, God will bring all things under the rule of his Son, Jesus. And he allows us, as his children, to know this plan. We don't know when. We don't know exactly how. But God has chosen to let us in on his plans for human history. Now, we would think it pretty exciting, probably, to sit in on the government's planning meeting. If you got invited to be a fly on the wall in Canberra, or for the state government here in New South Wales, we'd think it pretty privileged to sit in and hear about their plans. Maybe some people wouldn't be excited to hear about the federal government's budget plans, but nonetheless. Or to sit in the White House Oval Office and listen to those planning sessions by the president and those working with him. We'd think it's pretty privileged. God is letting us know of his cosmic plans for all creation. One day, all things will be in submission under the rule of Jesus. That's the mystery of history. And we've been told. Sixth blessing, God has made us heirs. Look at verses 11 and 12. In him we were also chosen, or have obtained an inheritance, made heirs. Having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. So our sixth blessing here is all about inheritance. The Bible speaks about this inheritance in two ways. God has a people for himself, and they are his inheritance. And this could be understood here in this passage. But in line with the thrust and the theme of this passage, it's most likely that it's we who are in Christ receive an inheritance due to being adopted into God's family. All that belongs to God in Christ will belong to us. And then finally, blessing number seven. God has given us the Holy Spirit as an inheritance guarantee. Look at verses 13 and 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. There are so many amazing blessings listed already in this passage, but God, in his grace and his faithfulness, wants to assure us that these are not empty promises. So what has he done? Well, for every person who is in Christ, God has given both a down payment and a pledge. He actually gives himself through the Holy Spirit. He gives every believer the indwelling Holy Spirit, who is both the down payment or the first installment of these blessings, but he's also a pledge, a promise, a guarantee. God will bring all of these wonderful blessings in Christ to fullness in his perfect timing and perfect ways. And the Holy Spirit dwelling in every believer is his guarantee. Now take a breath. Right. I wonder how you're responding to this good news today. How are you responding to this blessings account that is yours if you are in Christ? How rich are you? If you are in Christ, you are richer than you think. So what do we do with all of this? How do we respond to what we've read in Ephesians chapter 1 this morning? Well, there's actually one word that keeps echoing through this passage. Did you catch it? Yep. Praise. Verse 3. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Verse 6. To the praise of his glorious grace, which is freely given us in the one he loves. Verse 12, in order that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And verse 14, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Praise. These incredibly rich blessings of God, they are given to us out of his goodness and grace. We can't pay back God, even if we wanted to, but we can praise him for his grace to us. How rich are you? In Christ, you are richer, more blessed than you probably think. Praise him for his amazing grace to us in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you this morning for your deep generosity and grace to us in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you that for every person who is in Christ, these blessings overflow. Father, I pray for anyone here this morning who is not in Christ, who has not put their faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that you would draw them to yourself and bring them into this rich relationship that you offer by grace. Father, help us to know how to respond appropriately to what you've done for us. Help us to not simply praise you with our lips, but may praise overflow in our hearts and permeate all of our lives, so that you may receive the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.